This is Riz Hatton with the Becker Spine and Orthopedic Podcast. I'm thrilled to be joined today by Dr. Venkat Perumal, Assistant Professor of Orthopedic Surgery at the University of Virginia. Dr. Perumal, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Great. So just to start us off, could you please introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your background?
Yeah. I'm Dr. Venkat Perumal, orthopedic surgeon. I specialize in foot and ankle surgery. Currently, I'm working as an assistant professor in Department of Orthopedic Surgery at University of Virginia, Charlottesville, Virginia. I joined as a faculty in 2013, and my practices mostly focus on foot and ankle surgery, which includes sports medicine, foot and ankle trauma, ankle replacement for arthritis, and multiple other foot deformities and tendon problems as well. Now, I mostly focus on minimally invasive surgery of the foot and ankle pathology, and I'm currently a member of American Academy of Orthopedic Surgery and Foot and Ankle Society.
Great. Thanks so much for that introduction. I'm curious, what got you interested in the minimally invasive side of things?
So the minimally invasive side is, you know, like that's a new thing, a new setup in the market now. The main reason for minimally invasive surgery is to give the patients best outcome with less complications, less scar, easy recovery, and, you know, like fast, you know, good outcome as well. One of the reasons, you know, mostly we do minimally invasive surgery is because, you know, we have to open the foot for to correct the deformity, you know, big incisions. And whenever we open a big incision, there's always a chance of nerve damage. There's always a chance of infection. And, you know, like in minimally invasive, what we do is we do target incision, small incision to correct the deformity of the foot or whatever the pathology is on the foot to give the best outcome, less swelling, less pain, and faster recovery.
Interesting. Thank you. What are the biggest issues you're following in orthopedics today?
So the biggest issue right now, like most of the societies are talking about, is the physician burnout, depression, and suicide. I think that's the major topic. You know, like most of them, you know, now they talk about this burnout, depression, all those things. I was going through this, you know, like most of the academy now, you know, they have a lot of talks out on how to prevent burnouts, how to prevent depression, and all those things. In the current literature, you know, like orthopedic surgeons have the highest number of, you know, depression, burnouts when compared to other specialties. This is not only a problem, you know, in as an attending, it is also a major problem in the residents, you know, who train orthopedics as well as fellows as well. There is a recent study which published recently shows 9% of attendings, 6% of the fellows, and 34% of the residents report high level of depersonalization and issues. So this is for me, I think, you know, this is the one thing I've been recently, you know, like following this. And there's, of course, there's a lot of the institutions are coming up with a lot of things to prevent this burnout, depression, suicide, and all those things. So that's one thing, you know, like I'm following closely about, you know, recently.
That's very interesting. Are there any initiatives happening at the University of Virginia to sort of help with this burnout?
Yeah, there's a lot of initiatives now, you know, that recently, you know, like the multiple programs have been launched, the University of Virginia, in the departmental level, as well as the medical center level, as well as the medical school of medicine as well. There's multiple, programs which talks about how to prevent this burnout and how to, there's a lot of help available in the university as well, which can help the physicians to mitigate these issues.
That's great to hear. Thanks for sharing.
No problem. Thank you.
What are you most excited about, and what makes you nervous in the world of orthopedics?
I'm more excited about is for the new innovations, you know, which are coming out now to help the orthopedic surgeons to get their job, do the job in an efficient way, and help the patient for faster recovery. As I told you before, there one such thing is called a minimally invasive procedure in the foot and ankle surgery. The recent year or so, this has taken off pretty fast. There's been ongoing interest in the utility of minimally invasive surgery to correct foot and ankle deformities, which was performed using small target incisions rather than a big incision in the foot. There are multiple benefits with this minimally invasive surgery, which includes preservation of blood supply, limited injury to the adjacent tissue, less damage to the nerves, and fewer wound complications as well. Today, you know, the largest number of minimally invasive techniques has been developed to treat common deformities like bunion procedures, hammer toe deformities, fusion techniques, and then other flat foot deformity correction as well. So I'm pretty excited about this. And I do this in the University of Virginia. I started this, you know, like a couple months back, and we're doing this successfully as well. We are training the residents as well on this.
Very interesting. And what makes you nervous?
Of course, you know, like whenever we bring a new technology to help the patients, you know, like it has a learning curve, right? So it makes me nervous, you know, every time we bring in new technology, you know, what we trained before to do, and now with this new technology, you know, it makes me nervous to first, you know, implement this to the patients first. That makes me nervous. And of course, you know, you have to get trained. You do go, you know, you do the labs, you know, you do multiple training sessions, labs, and it always have a learning curve, right? So once you know, during the learning curve, it makes me nervous, you know, like to take this available technology and apply to the patients. First, you need to learn first and get used to that, and then you have to teach the residents, because it's a teaching institution. We teach residents and fellows as well. So it makes me nervous, you know, to bring in new technology, new innovation to help this patient to start with.
Interesting. And I'm curious, do you find that your students and the residents, are they more excited or nervous, or kind of a combination of both when kind of working with these new technologies?
Right. They're all excited because, you know, like they are, of course, you know, they want to learn the recent technology, cutting edge technology, recent technologies as well. When they go out, they can use that cutting edge technology, what they learn from here, to take them to their where they practice, to give the best for the patient so that they can recover quicker, correct? So I think they are all excited, you know, like the fellows are excited, the residents are excited. Anytime, you know, like I said, well, this is new, this is what we're doing, this helps. They're always excited.
That's great to hear. What will the most effective healthcare leaders need to be successful in the next 2 to 3 years?
So that's an interesting question. So to be a successful healthcare leader, the healthcare leaders need clinical skills, business competencies, and interpersonal or soft skill to guide their organization to success, right? So I think, you know, the foremost thing which the leaders need to be very successful to guide their organization to success is, the first thing is I would always say is empathy. Second thing is, you know, like they need good communication skills, and they should be very transparent as well. Third thing is, you know, self-awareness. You know, you should be self-aware as well. And the fourth thing, you know, I think what they need is strategic planning and decision-making, which is very, very important for them to navigate through these difficult times to get to guide the organization to be successful.
That's really interesting. So, you know, with your residents and your fellows, how do you really instill those ideas into them so then they can be great leaders once they're finished?
So the key is to start early, right? You know, like, so there, this the when they start the residency, it's this is a 5-year program. You know, like they have to go through 5 years of training to become an orthopedic surgeon. So the key is to start early. So what we do is, you know, like there are academies, you know, American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, as well as the Foot and Ankle Society meetings. They all have leadership workshops for the residents and as well as for the fellows. They can attend one of these leadership programs to get started early. The key is to start early. And we do have, you know, like departmental level, we do have mentors, we do have leadership courses, as well as the leadership courses where they can start their leadership skills early. So the key is to, you know, like most of them, they attend the academy or they attend the society where there is a leadership a program which is available, they can attend, and they start from there. We also have local mentors, you know, like they always have in this 5 years of training, they always have mentors, you know, like could be a divisional head, or you know, an attending, or a vice chair, or a chairman. You know, they all have this the good leaders to where they can always communicate, learn from them, and then go from there.
That's great. Those sound like really great opportunities. Well, Dr. Perwal, yeah. Thank you so much for your insights and your time today. I look forward to connecting with you again in the future.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me in this program. Take care.